Whether you're looking for answers to specific life questions or simply hoping to become the best version of you possible, welcome to the Mental Breakdown and PsychReg podcast, where we offer insight, information, and strategies based upon research and years of practice as psychologists. So sit back, have a listen, and get connected with our hosts, Dr. Bernie Wilkinson and Dr. Richard Marshall. Welcome back. Today we're going to talk about an article from The Atlantic entitled Masters of Love. That's just a quick, short title.
Well, two things. If it's from The Atlantic, it's going to be long.
That's true.
But
this
because
is a long
article. They do a thorough, they're excellent, really good journalism, literature coming out of this magazine. But they are long because they're complete treatments.
Right.
And the title sort of threw me, but you'll find out what they mean by masters of love as we go through. So pay attention to this concept, this idea of masters of love.
Right. And I what I like about this article, and this is just kind of getting right to it, is I like that we talk about these the main key to a healthy relationship being kindness.
Right, right.
Because you kind of alluded to it yesterday, the idea of finding that thing to push the other person's buttons and
right,
to just
triggers.
Find that thing that triggers them off. But this article kind of supports that, the idea of, no, we need to be kind to each other. If we want a relationship to last, we have to be kind to each other.
Right. There's a this article is just absolutely loaded with useful information. And it begins with some interesting statistics.
Yeah.
We're talking this week about love because it's we're preparing for next Wednesday, which is Valentine's Day.
Right.
Okay. So we thought, well, this would be a good week to talk about love and relationships and get some perspective. And we discovered that 13,000 people, 13,000 couples,
American couples.
Will do what? Get married.
Say I do.
In June. Each day in June.
Yeah. Okay. Every day in June, 13,000 people get married.
Right. Which is phenomenal to me.
Not 13,000 people, 13,000 couples.
Right.
So that's 26,000 people.
Right. Right.
Right.
And so June is the month. June is, what do they call it? June is bridal month or marriage
right,
month,
right,
whatever
right,
they call it.
Like
anyway, June, the June bride.
Right.
That's what it is. Okay. That each day in June, 13,000 couples get married. And of those 13,000 couples, 3 out of 10 will end up in a healthy relationship.
Yeah.
Okay. So that makes you stop in your tracks.
Yeah.
Right? That only 3 out of 10, and that's true for the county that we live in. The divorce rate in our county hovers between 60% and 70%.
Right.
Okay. Which surprised me the first time I heard that
right.
number. But it shouldn't, because in fact, 3 out of 10 have healthy relationships. So the article then goes on to talk about why are some healthy and some not healthy. Right?
Yeah, okay. Absolutely. And it gets the article, the author is, what was that person? Emily Smith.
And thank you, Emily, for having a name that we can pronounce without hesitation.
She does have her middle name listed there, and I just skipped right past that one.
You
because
just slid right by that.
Emily one. And Smith are very easy,
right.
But that the middle name, Esfahani.
Esfahani, and yes. And so
that's
we don't want to mispronounce that, so we skipped it. But she's the author of the article, but she talks about the work of a well-known psychologist.
Of John Gottman.
Right, and John and Julie Gottman,
They have a, I get their emails all the time about their marriage seminars. And because they do national trainings for, not just for professionals, for following their system and their approach to dealing with relationships, but also for couples.
Right. That's right. That they do both,
right?
Talk to couples directly, and they train others in this technique.
Right. So they've been doing this for a long time, since the 80s, the mid-80s. And so they've been looking at what constitutes a healthy relationship and what constitute factors that's going to help a marriage maintain.
Right.
And so, Emily talks about their approach here in this article.
Right. An interesting approach. They do physiologic responses, okay? And so their original research was they hooked people up and measured Galvanic skin response and heartbeat and respiration and all that to measure your level of arousal. Okay, that's what they were interested in knowing. And they divided the couples into two groups.
Right.
low arousal and high arousal.
Right.
Okay. Go ahead and explain low arousal, high arousal.
Well, before we do that, there was another couple that looked at some of these same mm-hmm. things, but they were more primarily focused on the intimate relationship back in the, I think it was the 70s, mm-hmm. Masters and Johnson.
Right.
You know, they right. did some of their early work in looking at this, and it's
that's right.
There's a lot of overlap here, mm-hmm. But they were looking at the intimacy parts of the relationship, and right. and so the Gottmans kind of expanded that, and now they're looking at the relationship aspect.
That's right, that's right. And so they hooked these couples up. They would put them in a room
right.
and watch them interact, but they would hook them up to these various machines that would measure mm-hmm. their level of arousal. Mm-hmm. And I hope I get this summary correct. What they did is, based on heartbeat and skin conduction and these other measures of physiologic arousal, they learned that some couples had very low levels of arousal, and some had much higher levels of arousal.
Right.
And then they went back and studied them years later.
Right.
Several, like 6 or 8 years later, they went back and studied the couples to see what their status was. And they discovered that the low arousal couples were still together and doing right. well, but the high arousal couples were in troubled, dysfunctional, or relationships divorced. That had ended.
Right.
Okay, divorce.
Yeah.
And so they said, okay, what's the connection here? Right. And the connection here is that people who are comfortable, mm-hmm. at ease, trusting in their relationship, they have very low level of arousal. Mm-hmm. But people who are on guard, mm-hmm. who feel the need to defend themselves, who maybe are on the attack themselves, have a higher level of arousal and may not even realize it.
Right.
We don't realize yeah. that we're doing it, but we are on guard, we get this physiologic response that moves us toward fight or flight. Mm-hmm. And the couples that had low arousal were doing well, they called them masters.
Masters.
Mm-hmm. And the couples that weren't, they called disasters.
Right.
So the title of this article is Masters of Love.
Right.
And what he's talking about are the successful couple.
Right. Yeah. I love the example that they use where they said that one of the disasters, a couple from the high arousal mm-hmm. couples, that the husband might say to the wife, why don't you tell me about your day? This is not right. going to take very long anyways.
Right.
You know,
right.
like there's that almost confrontational, that defensive
right.
type of tone mm-hmm. to it. Whereas the masters, they're very comfortable with each other.
Right.
They're very connected to each other. And so they're mm-hmm. patient and
right.
connected in that way.
And one of the wonderful terms that I will use probably every day in my practice is the word BIDS, BIDS. Mm-hmm. You said one of the things that the couples do is they will say something to the partner, and they referred to it as a bid,
right.
as in gambling. And the partner might say, hey, guess what happened today mm-hmm. at work? Or, hey, take a look at this. And they said, that's not just conversation. That's also an effort to say, I want to connect with you. Mm-hmm. It's a bid to say, I want to connect with you. I want to be closer to you.
Right.
It's an effort to get closer to the other partner.
Yeah.
They call that a bid. And how you respond to the bid
right.
becomes a functional part of the relationship.
Right.
Okay?
Right. Absolutely. And then the author kind of, go ahead.
Oh, go ahead, because it's turn away or turn to.
Right.
Right, right.
And as they're progressing through this, you know, the shift then becomes, you know, the author talks about this idea of contempt, and that when we have these bids, we have these throwing the line out to try to make the connection, to try to create
that's
that.
Right.
And either the person is going to turn away and
right.
not engage, or they're going to turn towards and they're going to engage.
That's right. You tell, like, for example, I come into your office and say, hey, take a look at this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, something on the computer screen. I'm either going to turn to
right.
and attend, or I'm going to turn away.
Right.
Okay. Masters turn to more often than disasters.
Right. And the more that you turn away,
mm-hmm.
you start to develop this sense of contempt
with
one
right.
another. And they say that contempt is the number one problem, the number one poison for a relationship.
That's right. Contempt is the becomes the problem.
Right.
Right.
And contempt will tear couples apart because then, you know, the other person's not interested, they're not engaging, and at some point the person who keeps throwing the line out is going to stop throwing the line out.
That's right. Two things happen. If you develop contempt, and I think that's probably an okay word to use. I agree with the use of the word contempt. It's not that you're contemptuous openly, but you just don't have enough concern for the other person.
Right.
Okay. So the person who turns away, the person who develops contempt, first of all, you miss, and I don't know how they derive it, derived this number, but they said you miss 50%, or you miss about half of the positive things that your partner's doing.
Yeah.
And the other problem is that you don't have any reason to keep bidding.
Right.
Like you said, you stop casting the line out. Okay. You stop offering bids because with the bids don't get, if nobody does anything with them, then you stop doing it.
Right.
Okay. And so now you become, I think what they were saying here is you become vulnerable to other things.
Right. And you know, and tying this back to the key of kindness that we were talking about earlier, the idea is that when a couple turns towards, or when the other person turns towards, you know, they may not be completely interested. They may have something else to do. They may have something else going on, but they're putting forth the effort. And one of the things that they talk about is that effort should be recognized. That effort should be acknowledged.
Exactly.
Because even if you're running late to dinner, even if you're, you know, and they put running late to dinner again.
As usual, right.
Again. Mm-hmm. And even if they, you know, aren't doing everything exactly the way that you want them to, if the effort is there, if they're working on it, they're trying, you need to pay attention to that because, as you said, that attempt is often overlooked.
That's right.
And we ignore that and then late again.
Yeah, you're late, but at least you tried.
Right.
That's the 50% that they're talking about. Is you're only seeing half of it.
Right. The contempt comes when they're late and they don't care that they're late.
Right.
They don't come in saying, "I'm so sorry, I'm late. I got caught up. This happened. Mm-hmm. That happened."
Right.
No, they're late and, you know, all right, you know, just move on.
Right. That's,
you know,
right.
Why isn't dinner warm? You know, and so you have to show that genuine interest, that those attempts have to be recognized. Mm-hmm. And the other piece is the idea of that when that genuine interest is there, the idea of, even if they're not executing everything exactly right, even if they don't do it exactly the way that you want them to, whatever it is, whether it's, you know, the way that they, it could be something as mundane as the way that they cook something, or it could be something more significant, as in the way that they, you know, comfort you when you're stressed. Right. Even if they're not doing something exactly right, we need to make sure that we are appreciating the intent and what they're trying to do.
That's right.
Once contempt creeps in there, you're not able to do that anymore.
And that's the big
problem.
And when we work with couples, we hear it all the time, that what people complain about, he doesn't acknowledge anything I do.
Right.
She never acknowledges the positive things that I do. It's always negative. No matter what I do, it's negative. That's what people complain about in relationships.
Exactly.
Is you're not acknowledging what I'm doing.
Right.
No matter how hard I work, you never say anything. If I don't clean the house, you complain. If I do clean the house, I don't hear about it. You know, it's like this expectation.
Right.
That's what couples complain about. Exactly what they're talking about here.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And so we'll end with these four.
Yeah.
These four responses, right?
Yeah, because your response to your partner's bids, okay, your partner tries to talk to you.
Right.
And your response falls into one of four categories.
Right. So there's two that are destructive and two that are constructive.
Right.
So passive or active. So passive destructive is sort of shifting and ignoring what the other person is trying to do,
right.
or wanting to engage you with by talking about yourself or talking about something else.
So, well, yeah, that's interesting. But
hey, can I show you something? Yeah, but you won't believe what happened to me today.
Right.
You know,
right.
That shift in, like, what you have to say isn't really important, but what I have to say, that's right. really important.
But the passive destruction is you're just not engaged. You don't bring attention. You don't bring engagement. And again, couples complain about this all the time.
Right.
Well, my husband gets home and I want to talk to him about something, but he's just not interested. He doesn't seem to be interested.
Right.
That's passive destructive.
Right.
Active destructive is, as the name implies, somebody, you know, your spouse brings something to you, mm-hmm. and then your response, well, that was kind of stupid. That was sort
right.
of a dumb thing to do.
Much more overt.
Right.
Right.
It's an act of destructiveness.
Yeah, that passive is subtle. It's not so overt. It's covert.
Yeah.
It's sly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think that it's important to recognize that sometimes that happens and you're not even aware that it's happening.
Right. Right.
Because if you're not really interested in something, you don't necessarily say, oh my gosh, I'm not interested in that at all.
Right.
Let me throw something else out there, or let me try something else.
Right.
Let me,
mm-hmm.
you know, passively
right.
Adjust. We don't usually think that way,
right.
but it happens. So passive destruction and active destruction.
Mm-hmm.
Active destruction is much more overt. But then we have the more positive side of things.
Right.
We have passive constructive and
right.
active
mm-hmm.
Constructive.
Right.
Yeah. So the passive constructive is it's acknowledged and it's understood in
mm-hmm.
a way. But it's not as overt again.
Right. But at least you're maintaining you maintain eye contact and you
right.
listen attentively. And you don't make a big fuss over it, but you know that the other person is listening to you and accepting what you're saying.
Right. So your significant other says, you won't believe what happened today.
Mm-hmm.
Yada 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 happened, and the other person says, listens, you know, shows genuine
mm-hmm.
in interest and everything.
Right.
That's cool.
Right, right. That's it. That's fantastic. Oh, finally it happened. Okay.
Awesome.
Yeah.
You know,
mm-hmm.
it's passive because it's not, you're not repeating back to them what they
right.
said. You're not engaging them
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
in an active
right.
exchange. So that's what's considered more passive.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So obviously the more active constructive is,
right.
you know, really engaging in that conversation.
That's right. Now you become part of it. Now
right.
you match their enthusiasm
right.
and you match their intensity and you
right.
match their interest. Okay?
Right.
And so, but you can see that when they talk about them as destruct, there's
mm-hmm.
the masters and the destructor,
mm-hmm.
the destroyers. And so these are ways to express
right.
your kindness, and kindness is concern
mm-hmm.
and engagement with the other person.
Right.
And so when somebody throws out the bids,
right.
you're going to respond in one of four ways.
Right.
And you need to think about these four and how are you responding to your partner, because
right.
people who respond in constructive ways
mm-hmm.
have healthy relationships. That
right.
was the other thing they discovered.
Right. Because
they watched people
yeah.
Responding to each other.
Yeah.
And they came up with these four categories. So
right.
that was ingenious. Fabulous research that they're
yeah.
doing.
So check out this article. But the take home is, you know, when you're in a relationship, you want
mm-hmm.
to think about, are you going to be a master or are you going to be a disaster? Are
right.
you going to engage and be connected
mm-hmm.
and be involved? Are you going to be defensive and avoidant and anxious
right.
about the relationship? You know, how are you going to respond to these bids? And are you going to develop a sense of contentment
yeah.
from the other person?
And I say all that with a cell phone in mind, because
yeah.
that's become part of this problem, is that people... You know, you're trying to talk to your partner and they're looking at their cell phone.
Right.
Okay? That's passive destruction.
Right.
Right. So be mindful.
Yeah.
Be mindful.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. And
right.
not just on February 14th.
That's true.
Be mindful every day.
Every day.
Mm-hmm.
That's it for today. Until next time, stay happy, stay healthy, and forget to be afraid. Thanks for sharing this episode of the Mental Breakdown and PsychReg podcast. Be sure to check out the show notes for links to follow us on Twitter and subscribe to our YouTube channel, where you will find all of our previous podcasts and much more. We would be honored if you would become a patron through patreon.com, where any donation you can manage will go to the development and creation of more content. Just visit patreon.com/themental breakdown for more information. Thanks again for listening. Have an awesome day, and we look forward to being back in your feed tomorrow morning. Thank you.